Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Christian friends. And thank you. I need that as we try to get me hooked up here with the microphone because it's important. Can you hear me now? All right. It's important to be heard, right? Communication is important. We just had an illustration right now. Those of you in internet land in prison, we had a little problem with my new headset, trying to figure out how it goes over my ears and which way the microphone goes. So anyway, it does no good if I have the sermon I prepared and no one can hear it. And in the same way, if we pray and pray and pray and God doesn't hear our prayers, what good is that? Or if we don't know how to pray and therefore we don't communicate with God and have no communication with Him, that's a very bad thing for a Christian. Because prayer is a vital part of our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And if we don't have a prayer life, we don't have a relationship with God. It is that vital. Many have set a barometer, a measuring point of our spiritual life is our prayer life, which is kind of scary for some of us. So that's why Pastor Rick and I have had this series of sermons on prayer. And we wrap it up today as we talk about how to pray. And hopefully you all got one of those sheets with Jesus' face on it with the Lord's Prayer. And on the back, you'll see Martin Luther's explanation to the Lord's Prayer. And this will be the basic outline for today. So if you don't have an outline, please get one in the back there because this is what we're going to talk about. September 11th, 2001, obviously will live in infamy in the history of our country. And I can't believe it's almost been 10 years ago, can you? I just can't. And Todd Beamer, you've heard all about him, I'm sure, a strong Christian man, a successful businessman, was on his way to a business trip, and then it all happened. And once he realized what was going to be happening, he wanted to communicate with his wife. He wanted to communicate with someone, and he couldn't get through to his wife, and so he used his cell phone and talked to the cell phone company, the operator, and explained that this is going to be it. And can you imagine that operator, you know, getting mundane phone call after mundane phone call, then getting a phone call like that? And that lady who was there by God's plan led Todd to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And that gave Todd the courage to then say, let's roll. We're not going to be victims. We're going to do what is right here. And it's very moving to me because I've been to that memorial in Pennsylvania. Extremely moving. It's quite a sight, and it's quite a place, and you can really feel God's care and His love, and you think about what these heroes did. But the Lord's Prayer was a vital part of Todd Beamer's life, and just about the last thing he said, isn't that something, was the Lord's Prayer. And for many of us, the Lord's Prayer is a very comforting prayer, very powerful prayer. But someone once said that that's the greatest martyr in the church, the Lord's Prayer, because it gets killed all the time and abused and misused and said over and over and over and over and over, sometimes without thinking through what's really in this prayer, power-packed prayer. So Martin Luther, I think under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, wrote down an explanation. So if you can turn to your outline, should have there. If you don't, go in the back and get one. This is what Dr. Martin Luther wrote to explain each part of the Lord's Prayer. Because if we want to know how to pray, that's what the disciples asked Jesus. He referred them to this prayer. Not that we have to say the Lord's Prayer over and over and we can't have our own prayer, but He said, pray like this. Well, what are some of the components to the Lord's Prayer when we say pray like this? First of all, our Father, who art in heaven. With these words, Luther says, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children. So that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask Him as dear children ask their Father. Now that's an intimate. So first of all, we want to pray with intimacy, number one. We don't say, O thou great deity in the sky, architect, divine architect, higher power up somewhere. What do we say? Father. And maybe you didn't have a great dad. This is the perfect Father. Abba, Father. So God tenderly invites us to believe that He's our, truly our Father. we can sit in his lap as his true children and talk to him in that kind of way. And it's not my Father, it's our Father. We're all in this together as one. We are all related to each other through Jesus Christ and have the same Father, one Lord, and one Father of us all. Amen. Friday was one of the most amazing days of ministry that I had in a long time. And as you know, Pastor Rick's on vacation and Robin's gone and basically doing two full-time jobs here at Amazing Grace and then over at Touchstone. And Friday was one of those days, and I had a meeting set up with Touchstone that I had to cancel to do some hospital calls. And so I called the family, and the little guy that we're working with is about, I think, 7 years old. And he's awesome. He has his issues that don't we all. But he has a unique connection with God, with Jesus. And so I said, I'm sorry I can't come to your meeting, but I want you to pray for me because I have a whole lot of meetings to do, a lot of hospital calls, and some people are not doing well at all. They're in ICU, and it doesn't look good. He says, he didn't call me Pastor Perry because he has his own pastor. He goes, okay, Mr. Perry, let's pray. And he says, Lord, pray for that lady. I forgot her name. And he goes, what's her name again, Perry? Oh, Barbara. Okay. I pray for Barbara. I pray for Debbie. I ask God, make them better. Because help Mr. Perry say the right words and be with him. And be with me too. In Jesus' name, amen. And he says, oh, Mr. Perry, real matter of fact, Mr. Perry, God's sitting right next to me. I see you. He had a vision of the Lord. The Lord was right next to him. He said, oh, by the way, now he's over next to my dog. Just matter of factly. I'd be going, oh, God's here. He said, like, sure. Anyway, I felt strengthened to go on all these hospital visits and went to the first hospital. And this connects with Father God, having an intimacy with God, where he's with us no matter what we go through. And I went to the first one. It was a member of my first congregation, or second congregation over in Ahwatukee. She was the first woman we had a healing service for 12 years ago. She had incurable cancer, was supposed to die in a year and a half. This is 12 years ago. And I didn't know what I was doing. I never had a healing. And they said, well, can you have anointing oil? I go, what's that? And so I did it, and she was healed. Well, she had contracted meningitis last week, and her husband and her boys were in St. Louis for a shooting exposition. You would like that. They were in the shooting thing. They were having a blast there. They're having a great time, but here's Debbie in the hospital bed all alone, and she might have had a friend from Texas fly up. Well, we went there, and we'd been praying all week for her, and she goes, she started crying because she hadn't seen me for quite a while. We had a really neat time, and she said, by the way, they can't find the meningitis. I'm going home Monday. So that was a good way to start off the day. I go, thank you, buddy, my prayer partner. I go, that's pretty cool. So then I go to see Barbara, and she didn't look good. Barbara Stick did not look good the last time I'd seen her at all. She was on the ventilator, really just kind of out of it. I walk in there. She's as bright as can be. She sees me and she can't talk, but she's off the ventilator. And she's just like she wants to talk, but she can't. And we had a great time of prayer. She was agitated, and the nurses couldn't get her calmed down. So they said, all right, you're the minister, Pastor Perry. Say your prayer and leave. They were stressed out. And I says, okay, Lord, Jesus, calm her down. Barbara, it's okay. I know you want to go home. You want to get out of here. I would too. May the peace of the Lord be with you. She closed her eyes and went to sleep. I go, this is cool. That's prayer partner buddy of mine. It's pretty neat. So then I go from there to another hospital. That was out in Gilbert. I went downtown, went to Gilbert downtown. Now I'm over at Arrowhead. And one of my clients, I think he's about 18, had contracted leukemia. And the treatments, his body shut down last Wednesday night while we were having church with Pastor Daniel at a call, and he was dying, and we prayed for him. And so I go in the ICU expecting the worst, and he's sitting up in bed. And he's leaving ICU and going to a regular room tomorrow. So God, you see that this prayer, that Father God would be with me through all this, and that prayer, this little guy, and he's the one that gave me a hug one time when I was sad and took all the pain away inside him. He took it away. The kid hugged me. But anyway, what I'm getting at is this, is an intimate relationship with God, that he goes with us wherever we go. Well, finally, I'm at the ICU at Arrowhead, and there's this good news, and here's some bad news, but also good news. Two doors down, just as I got there, a 19-year-old girl died. And she's the daughter of a pastor and a pastor's wife. and they just told me about it. And I said, oh, man. So I went over, and I just gave my condolences. I said, you don't know me, and I'm so sorry. I'm a pastor. Just happened to be here. Tried to give them comfort. And then I went to the pastor's wife, who was a pastor. The dad, pastor dad, he was gone. Pastor's wife, it's like she had backlighting behind her. This glory was shining over her. She just lost her daughter, but not lost her, went to heaven. And I just offered condolence, and I prayed, and I asked for her name, not her daughter's name, because I wanted, she needed the prayer now. Her daughter's fine. She's in heaven. And her name's Molly. So we want to pray for Molly, because I can't even imagine being a pastor with my daughter. I mean, I'd be mad at God if he took her this soon. I mean, his will be done. But that would be a difficult thing. So through all that, it was wonderful to feel God's presence on that Friday. I'll never forget that Friday. And it all started with a prayer. And it all starts with us with a prayer. And how to pray? It's just coming to our dad, our papa, and just talking and pouring out our heart. So it's with intimacy. Secondly, it's with reverence. Hallowed be thy name. We think of Halloween. Really, that literally means holy evening. It's supposed to be All Saints Day. Anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. But hallowed means something that's holy and set apart. And we're saying, Lord, may your name be holy. And Luther's saying, and he writes, God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity. And we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's Word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. We have to be reverent, and we have to hold God up as holy, and we don't use His name in vain, and we don't let garbage come out of our mouth. Paul warns us about that, and he says, live like children of God, live like holy, set apart people of God, and pursue holiness. Not false piety, but purity in our lips, in our hearts, in our minds. And so we pray with reverence. Thirdly, we pray with expectancy. Thy kingdom come. I love the way we pray that here. It's not like, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. We believe it. And we're praying that God's kingdom would come down to Glendale, to Arizona, to our church, that people come to know Jesus. Whether they be Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or whoever. And Kelly just talked to some. No matter who it is, that we share the love of Jesus and that more and more people are brought not to the church, but are part of God's kingdom. And our role is to go out and that more people be part of the kingdom. And that the Holy Spirit would come into their hearts. And Roberta and I talked about that yesterday in Jeremiah. That we want more people to come to know Jesus Christ. That's what our role is. To bring more people, to fill these pews with people who are hungry for Jesus, that are broken and need to find out the reason for living and a purpose in life. Amen? Amen. So we pray with expectancy that His kingdom would come on earth. That it would come here. Not just church, but people would experience the power of a living God and be part of His kingdom and worship the King who is in control. And He is Lord of all. That's another part of the Lord's Prayer. How to pray? Pray with expectancy. Next, we pray with surrender. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luther writes, if you notice in the outline, God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come. And when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His Word and faith until we die. This is His good and gracious will. Here we surrender, say, not my will, but Thy will be done. That His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He has His will in heaven, but we pray that He would come down and that what He wants happens here on earth with all the garbage around us, right? Of man's will, man's way, man's desire, man's purpose. And that God would reign, that He would be the King here on earth, and that His will be done. And so we pray, Lord, what do You want me to do today? I surrender to You. I trust You. As I go throughout my day, I want You to be part of my life, that Your kingdom would come wherever I go, that You would be with me, Lord, and Your will be done. And my agenda, my planner is an open book. I've got my dates. I've got my appointments. But Lord, if You want me to go somewhere, You lead me. And You lead our family. Your will be done, not my will. So we pray with surrender. Next, we pray with dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread, Luther writes, includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a godly husband or wife, godly children, godly workers, godly and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Friends, these are gifts from God. We don't just deserve this. These are gifts. And when we have them, we should be thankful. And we pray that He would give us not our weekly bread, not our yearly bread, but our daily bread. What we need today, that He would give us. And that He would be with us. And we would recognize that everything we have, everything good comes from Him. We are stewards of what He's given us. Amen? Amen. So we pray with dependence. Next, we pray with forgiveness. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray in this section that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor how we deserve them, but we ask that He would give them all by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing, nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. So we ask for forgiveness, but we have to give forgiveness, otherwise we lose the forgiveness we have because we burned the very bridge we must cross. And I think we fail to realize how much we daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. We don't deserve heaven. We don't earn it. We sang about that, right? It's a gift of God by His tender mercy. Now, to get to that lesson and the song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Moses wanted to see God. He says, God, I'm not going without Your presence. That's what Pastor Rick preached on last week, right? And God says, okay. And Moses says, I want to see Your glory. He says, okay, you can't see me face to face because you'd fry. You'd be toast, Moses. Be toast. He says, I'll tell you what. I'll come by. I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock. And you can see the back part of My glory, My goodness. This is His goodness, not His holy righteousness and His wrath, but His goodness and His mercy is so overwhelming that sometimes we can't contain His glory and His goodness. He's so good to us. And sometimes His love and His presence overwhelms us, where it's just like, wow, God, You're so awesome. Whether it be singing a hymn or whatever. But anyway, so God says, I'm going to move by here, and I'll put you in this little rock, and you can see part of My goodness as I come by. And as he came by, Moses was overwhelmed by God's goodness. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself in the rock. And so, God's mercy. And then the Lord talked about, I, the Lord, full of mercy and compassion and grace. That's God's glory, is His goodness and His mercy and His grace. Amen? With me? All right. So we go from praying with forgiveness. So we got pray with intimacy, pray with reverence, pray with expectancy, with surrender, with dependence, with forgiveness, and now with a sense of security. And lead us not into temptation. God tempts no one. We pray in this section that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. So we pray with a sense of security that God would not lead us into temptation. And if we are tempted, if we lead ourselves into temptation, if the world entices us, the devil pulls us, that we would have the strength that comes only from God to keep us away from false belief, despair. So I'm just going to give up. It's too hard being a Christian. It's too hard being a faithful disciple and coming early and singing and coming early and getting ready and coming to church day after day and being faithful and being able to be counted on. It's too hard. I don't feel like it. It's raining outside. I don't want to go to church. Like, oh, brother, what does a little rain have to do with it? But anyway, all these excuses we can have that lead us into temptation, slowly but surely pulling away from God. Right? Hello? But rather, God gives us the victory. And then finally, as we wrap up, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one, depending which translation. But Luther says, we pray in this section in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to Himself in heaven. So this we pray with confidence. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Because the victory is His. The power is His. And we just are along for the ride. But if we try to do this in our own power, are we going to make it? We are not going to make it. But with His power, He holds us in the palm of His hand. So we pray with intimacy, with reverence, with expectancy, with surrender, with dependence, with forgiveness, with a sense of security, and with confidence. And we wrap it all by saying, for Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And Luther says, this means that I should be certain that my prayer is pleasing to our Father in heaven, and we are heard by Him. For He Himself has commanded us to pray in this way, and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen. Means, yes, yes, it shall be so. That He will take us from this valley of sorrow to Himself in heaven. We can be confident of that. In closing, there's a man in the hospital who talked to a pastor and says, Pastor, I'm just not much into prayer. I don't know how to pray. And the pastor led him through a little acronym called ACTS, A-C-T-S. Have you heard that? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication means asking God to supply our needs. That all four parts are very important. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, the supplication. He goes, well, Pastor, I feel uncomfortable. He says, well, I'll tell you what, next time, why don't you just have someone pull a chair next to your hospital bed? Here, in fact, we'll do that now, okay? He says, okay. So when you talk to Jesus, imagine He's sitting there, okay? So he started doing that. And the nurse came and said, oh, what's this doing over here? Kept trying to make things neat and orderly, you know, and kept putting them, and finally, I'm going to have to bring it back, and he was not doing well. He was dying. And just before he was dying, though, he asked someone to bring a chair. And his family came by and they said, well, what's with this chair always here? And they said, oh, we found out that whenever he brought that chair, he was having a talk with Jesus. And when the man died, his head was turned toward the chair. He was looking that way as God took him home. May we feel like we can be natural with God and real with Him. It's just a heart-to-heart conversation. It's not like you have to say the certain words. May the Lord give you a passion to pray, because it's only prayer that changes things. We pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.